reading from Psalms 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, April 28th, 2021. And I chose that verse because we're going to be reading an article. In fact, the content contributor, our very own Dee Chesser, will be reading Cooking from the Beginning. That'll be because it's Wednesday and it's the Prime Life Times in Review. So that's usually our special feature on Wednesday, is to invite a content contributor or somebody who's written the article. Sometimes it's been Joey Kroll or the various people that submit articles into this beloved Prime Life Times paper, which, incidentally, is available in Springfield at the WLUJ studios.
Oh, boy.
Where they're lifting up Jesus, and it's Share-a-thon time. So today through Friday, they began yesterday, and they'll continue through Friday, raising a goal of $77,000 in new monies. And that's been explained a number of times, but the goal is, if we can raise $77,000 in new monies, along with all the ongoing monthly givers and people that give one-time gifts or make pledges during the share time, it'll allow us to balance our books through the end of the year. So we're really trusting that God will raise up $77,000 in new monies, maybe first-time givers or people that'll increase their gift. And so if you're tuned in today and you're being blessed by the ministry of WLUJ and you want to get involved with this share, call 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. Pledge your support, and let's see what God's going to do with the resources so that we can be equipped to lift high the name of Jesus 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and be blessed by the Christian programming and the music, the devotional thoughts. I mean, how many times have you guys tuned in? And it's like,
I'm
just
in right now.
Yeah, that's right. You're making the music. You're making the content right
now. Sorry.
But like, you're driving along in your car and you're thinking about something, or you're problem solving, or you're weighing a decision, and the answer comes through maybe something that's said or something that's being talked about, or even a song. You just need an encouraging, affirming word for the Lord. And don't you know, that song comes up and you're like, thank you, God.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I have so had that happen. And you have too, Dee?
Yes, it's so amazing the way God puts everything together. Uh-huh. 1 week, a sermon you hear, something you hear on the radio, a devotional you read, and they're all tied in. Everything he does, and then he's even doing that in each one of our lives. He's putting stuff together. But I'm always astounded, too, about the witness of share-a-thons, because Christians give like no one else. Mm. And I remember where I'm from, you know, Minnesota, that when the share-a-thon up there was going on, and this money would be raised, and every time the goal would be exceeded, and it would be raised within the couple days that were given, and the rest of the world would look at that. Well, why do they get money and we have a share-a-thon and we only get 10% of what we want? And
interesting.
It's a huge witness for the Lord, because Christians give.
I've never thought of it quite that way.
Yeah. And this is kind of a special time, because we make our needs known and people respond, and the Lord, I don't know, sometimes supernaturally puts it on people's hearts. Like, they come up with, the Lord told me to give this amount, and other people say, you know, I faithfully give, but I'm going to be stretched a little more, and I'm going to increase that monthly gift. You know, maybe they give $20 a month, and they say, you know what, I'm going to give 50% more. I'm going to give $30 a month now. And then by the end of the year, they're like, the Lord provided, and we're still very blessed, and we get to bless the ministry. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an exciting time where listeners can get involved and pledge or renew their giving. Or people that have never given before, they say, you know what, I listen every time I go to work or when I'm picking up my kids, and I'm being blessed and challenged. I love how the Holy Spirit will bring healthy conviction.
Yes.
And there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Most Christians know about this. When it's conviction, you're drawn near to God. A sin might be pointed out, or a shortcoming, or something that you're failing in. But healthy Holy Spirit conviction will always have you turn to God. Like, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for reminding me I'm fallen. I'm a sinner. And it's because of your work, not because of my good deeds or I've done this for so long. It's because of what you did on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And so healthy conviction, maybe exposes sins or our shortcomings, but it always draws to God.
Yeah.
condemnation from the evil one will always have you kind of turn your back on God,
right.
Like you'll maybe recognize a sin, and then instead of going to God and confessing it, the condemnation that comes from the evil one will always have you turn away from God and dismiss God. And,
right.
And so that's never a healthy conviction. Conviction is a good thing. It,
yes.
It exposes sin, but then it helps us recognize we need a Savior. So that's a good thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to keep sinning. And so hopefully as we turn and confess, you know, healing takes place and we're maybe strengthened to withstand that sin the next time or in future times.
It's interesting because yesterday morning, Alistair Begg, I think it was Tuesday morning, yeah, was talking about the discipline of God. And he said, we don't like discipline, but the Bible really does say God disciplines those he loves.
Yeah. As a father,
children.
The son he delights in. I heard that program too. He's good.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. And it kind of goes with this conviction. He's not trying to hurt us.
Mm-mm.
He's not trying to damage us with his conviction or discipline. He's trying to help us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
and
a great
I'm sorry,
program.
I can't resist. Okay. I'm so sorry. Going way back in what you just said, you did that math so quickly and so well. I'm very proud
what
of
math?
You.
Oh, yes.
The 50% higher.
Oh, the 20 and the,
yes.
the $30.
Yeah. Oh,
hey,
boy. You did that well.
I'll share this with the listeners. And it was funny as we worked out budgets and, you know, you extend numbers, you know.
Oh, I'm sure they want to hear all about it.
Us math people, accountant types, like, we like to crunch numbers. But I used to do that for years with Jewel food stores as I ran a grocery store and had a $10 million budget. You know, we had $220,000 in sales every week. And so it was a big operation. Well, I was required weekly, you know, what are the gross margins? What are the percent? Where we're at with payroll? And so I had to account for all that. Well, anyways, fast forward it 25 years later, being involved in Christian radio, and I was sitting down with John and the staff, and we're looking at budgets and projecting numbers and looking at patterns and trying to figure things out. And it came very natural. I could crunch the numbers. I was like, oh, this is, why am I pretty good at that? And it's like, oh, yeah, all that training. I mean, the district manager, area vice presidents, they'd come in and pound you if you didn't have your numbers right and you weren't making budget. I mean, everything was about making budget. And I mean, everything was about profit.
Sure.
And so you had to deliver and cut expenses. And so I learned through, you know, the tough workplace environment that you had to make it. And
leave
so whatever it took.
Leave the mustard off that turkey sandwich. It cost him too much.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Everything was with, hey, watch the supplies. You can control the controllables. And anyway, so I got to be pretty good at it. I knew how to crunch numbers and work that through.
And you did it all with old math.
Yeah, old time
math.
So when we were working on projections and patterns and, you know, how can we reduce costs? And everyone knows I'm pretty good at reducing costs, maybe too much. So, but as we looked at the numbers and looked at the faithful monthly givers and those that give year-end gifts, and, you know, oftentimes there's this larger number. And I said, you know, so many of the faithful WLUJ listeners give like the Great News Radio listeners,
mm-hmm.
give month after month
yeah.
and give special, you know, Thanksgiving time gifts and year-end
yes.
gifts. And I said, really, if these patterns could continue and they continue to be faithfully giving as they can, you know, if they lose their job or whatever,
sure.
there's situations where they can't give, and we understand that. But if those that believe in the mission to educate, edify, and evangelize, those that love raising high the name of Jesus, which we do, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's the Savior, he's the reason for the Christmas season, he's the reason for our life, he was sent by the Father so that we could experience that love from the Father and have eternal mm-hmm. life, all the great things that we get to proclaim on Christian radio, if they believe in that message and reaching the lost, then I just trust that God will put it on people's hearts to give and donate, because we're going to be faithful in that and God-honoring music and teaching that proclaim Jesus as Lord.
Well, that's really well said, Mark, and also the part about being faithful. You know, we can be faithful, but I like what Dee said about giving is a witness. I never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Giving to what you believe in and to, like, Christian radio and getting the word out, that's a witness
that
you can use with your money. You can have a witness with your money.
It's another thing where other people look at Christians and say, why do they do that?
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
Because they believe in it.
Yeah. And I think of the sacrificial giving. That always touches my heart. And if you were tuned in yesterday, you would have heard some of that as we talked about the WLUJ share and how it's coming together and how we're hoping to raise the $77,000. But it's like when somebody gives, and I've read every single letter that comes in. I personally sign every single thank you. I've done that for 25 years.
That's great.
I always write a note. But I marvel when people give $25 every month, or give a $50 gift or a $500 gift. They could take that $500 and go on vacation.
Sure,
they
sure.
could upgrade their, I don't know, DirecTV or whatever they want, that package. They could do anything they want. And when they choose to give, especially like the widow's mite, people that give sacrificially, they give, you know, they're stretched to give. I just marvel and think, you know, thank you, God, that they're choosing to support this ministry. And then hopefully our faithfulness is always raising high the name of Jesus, proclaiming the good news message, being faithfully to biblical doctrine and teaching biblical truths, and hopefully doing it all to the glory of God.
Yes.
It's a great partnership. They're giving, giving sacrificially, giving as a praise offering to the Lord, and then we're good stewards to, you know, optimize their money, make sure we stretch it and we steward it properly. And then I always think it's God's ministry, so it's really the pressure's on Him to raise up the funds. Even though sometimes maybe we feel a little of the pressure, that's out of sorts. It's His ministry, and if we're doing it to His glory, then it's, in a sense, His responsibility to bring people to the point where they want to support us. But I do appreciate, because people could spend it on a lot of other things, on themselves.
Sure.
And so if you want to get involved and you want to support us, call today, 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. We're doing a little share-a-thon here.
I know it.
Our Great News Radio listeners are like, wait a minute, you've never had a share-a-thon in 25 years.
We aren't right now either.
Yeah. So we're raising funds for WLUJ, our sister station in Springfield, touching so many lives throughout Central Illinois and
it's
blessing
one of,
people.
It's one of our 19 frequencies of Great News Media.
Yep. So we're excited for them. I'm going to be there on Thursday and Friday. Meeting with people and having just fun to see how God answers. Every time the phone rings, everyone gets excited.
Well, that's fun.
Because it might be a pledge for, you know, a significant amount through the end of the year, or a one-time gift, or somebody that's just renewing. So
very nice.
Each and every call matters. It all adds up, and we're hoping to raise $77,000. So be a part of that miracle and be a part of helping us lift high the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, you can lift high the name of Jesus through cooking, right?
Hey!
Through providing hospitality and meals for people, huh?
Actually, this particular individual here, Dee Ann Cheshire, actually does that. Yep. She lifts high the name of Jesus through her hospitality. I can vouch for that 100%.
Oh, thank you. Well, I did until...
Until
last year.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. We don't count that year.
We're looking forward to doing it again,
You
though.
Bet. You bet. Okay, so this article is one among many that are so good, and I can't wait for you to read next month's, but we're not going to go there yet, clearly. So let's read the last article reading we'll have for the month of April. Okay.
Wow.
So, Dee, take it away.
Stir it up.
All right.
Oh, that's clever.
Oh, that was good, Mark. I love to cook. I most certainly enjoy the fruits of my labors, but my greatest joy is in cooking for others. If you had looked at my first attempt at acquiring some culinary skills, you might not have wanted to plant your feet any time under my table, as my great Uncle John said to Grandma Ball, who could really cook. Unlike poor Aunt Eliza, whose food bordered on the inedible.
Oh, jeez.
But perhaps after hearing the whole story, you would join me for an afternoon tea, a holiday meal, or a lunch for friends. As I have aged, I have found myself remembering dishes from my childhood.
But, Dee, you never age. You're still like this swinging senior. That's,
thank you,
Jeez,
Mark.
I should say, for our listeners unfamiliar with this sweet voice, our cherished, beloved Dee Chesser is our children's choir director, and so we can't wait to start that up again
and
in the coming months.
And have
a children's choir again, but we just love Dee. Okay, go ahead.
If you think I'm not aging, take a look at the hair.
You look great.
Some of these dishes were simple, and some more complex. My mother's Saturday pies, one cherry, one blueberry. until a big white grub worm was found floating on top of the blueberries in the newly opened can.
Oh, gosh.
No more blueberry for a long time. Creamed poached eggs on toast.
That sounds so good.
It is, especially when you've been sick. Yeah.
You know what happens, Dee, when food starts getting mentioned. Marianne's going to bring up, when am I going to do the pizzas for the team and all these
I started to say that earlier, and I just knew it was out of line, so I didn't go there.
Poached eggs on toast were our first meal after being sick. My grandmother's scrapple and sour cream raisin pie. Carolyn Burnham's hard-boiled egg, bacon, and cheese sauce breakfast dish. Hmm. Judy Bolly's rosemary parmesan chicken. And Nancy Wagner's brisket. Oh, so good. But back to the beginning. My mother was small in stature, a slender energizer bunny type who seemed to do everything well and in a hurry, which mystified me, a laid-back individual.
Oh, jeez.
Because of her perfectionist tendencies, my household duties involved only ironing pillowcases and hankies and stirring pudding.
Oh.
I watched her bake and cook and prepare meals, but I didn't take notes. So there were some gaps in my mental recipes, most evident in my first cooking venture, scrambled eggs. I took out the iron skillet, eggs, and milk. After beating the two ingredients together, I added them to the already heated pan. Notice anything missing? Yep.
That's Mark. So,
those eggs stuck so well, they were pretty much inedible, and the pan was a mess. There were three of us in my neighborhood friend circle, Deanne, me, Deanna, and Diane. Diane already had some cooking skills, even in her early teens, but the next attempt didn't involve her. Deanna and I tried to make popcorn. We succeeded in popping the corn, and then came the butter melting. We were used to the wonderful popcorn drenched in a greasy but flavorful oil that was sold from the two wagons on Front Street in downtown Mankato, Minnesota. So we decided that our popcorn then needed a large amount of butter. We melted it.
What is it? Is it, I can't think of that, real famous... Not chef, the gal, she's really famous for cooking, but everything tastes better with butter. Do you know that line from the movie?
Well, I was stuck back at Otis Redenbacher when you were talking about popcorn.
Oh,
no,
okay,
I don't know. But
everything
it is tasty.
Julia Childs?
Yeah.
Everything, because they had the girl that did her recipes.
Oh, yeah, that movie.
Yeah, that everything tastes better with butter or something.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah.
So lots of butter makes it taste lots better.
I love butter.
We melted it, but it had a strange odor. So we dumped it and tried again. Same odor. Well, our pan must be too hot. Nope. We finally put the smelly butter on our popcorn, and of course, it was just fine. We had used up a pound of butter, at least 1 week's worth in our households, and we had a lot of explaining to do. From then on, things improved. As a newlywed, I could do burgers, simple hot dishes, and desserts. When children arrived, time was more limited, but I kept growing and trading and collecting recipes from friends and clippings from newspapers and magazines. I soon had quite a collection. I also gathered cookbooks. My first one was Cooking with Gail. Gail was a young farm girl from Jackson, Minnesota. That book was soon followed by many church cookbooks, family cookbooks, and my most recent purchases, Gooseberry cookbooks. Though I have had to stop buying them to avoid running out of shelf space.
And cookbooks are totally now on the decline because so many people aren't cooking anymore.
Who are you talking to? I mean, really, who are you talking to?
And who should not be the expert on this topic right
here? I love cookbooks. I buy them every chance I get. I adore cooking.
Me too.
Thank you.
I'm out of my pay grade now. I'll just be quiet.
All right. I don't believe that for a minute. I always sent my children off to school with a hot breakfast. Pancakes, waffles, French toast, hot cereal.
You killed me.
A variety of eggs.
It's grand, isn't it? I love cooking.
A variety of eggs, and those scrambled ones didn't stick to the pan either. However, the children complained, "Why can't we just have cold cereal like the other kids?"
Kids.
Entertaining involved other families for meals and many different groups of kids for birthdays, youth group, and friends getting together. The children grew up and started their own homes, and it seemed that in just a blink of an eye I was retired. And Mom and I left Minnesota for wonderful, warm Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. You always say warm Illinois.
And this is the year we have snow in
April,
almost late April.
Oh, yeah. I think, what, do we have a total this year of 4 inches altogether?
Yeah.
Here, my favorite way to entertain became tea parties. Even though my mom was in her 90s, she still loved to clean, so we had a pact. She cleaned, I cooked. Before each party, she pushed her walker with one hand, Swiffer duster in the other, trailing her O2 tubing around the house.
With a Swiffer. I love this.
Making sure everything was neat and tidy, while I made scones, cookies, chocolate caramel cracked candy, and special tea. And remember those clippings and saved recipes I mentioned? I kept collecting for 60 years, and when I downsized, I threw away a huge bag full of possibly delicious concoctions I had never looked at or tried. My cooking spaces have gone from small apartment, to small house to larger house, to townhome to condo, and back to apartment. I hope my cooking skills have improved with all those space changes. My love for entertaining has continued to grow and change. But I must tell you, I don't serve popcorn or scrambled eggs.
Great article. Copyright D.A. Cheshire. Dee is director of the Great News Radio Children's Choir. Email her at deannchesher, deannchesser, @gmail.com.
And if you're blessed by this story and maybe our lighthearted conversation on cooking, and you want to be a part of this radio ministry and help raise that $77,000, and maybe you've never called in before, call now. The WLUJ Share is going on. Began yesterday, and it'll go through Friday night, I think about 6 o'clock. Call 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. Pledge your support, and let's raise the $77,000 in new monies so that we can pay our bills and devote our time and energy and effort to other ministry endeavors and outreaches to raise high the name of Jesus and bless all of you that listen and will participate in the days ahead. So thank you, God, for WLUJ. Thank you, God, for Dee Chesser and Marianne Simpkins and for this
and
radio
Burns.
Ministry. And yeah, thank you, God, for my salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ that we live high.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Dee Chesser with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.